Welcome to episode 177 of Practical Defense, PII, Personally Identifiable Information. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Addix. This week, our subject is Understanding Personally Identifiable Information, or PII. This is a subject that affects us more and more every day. We'll dive into the vulnerabilities we create for ourselves and those that are created by those that we trust. But before we step into that mire, I want to bring up a few items that those who follow me on Facebook and Twitter are already aware of. Practical Defense is available as a mobile phone application on two platforms. The first platform is Android. Just complete a quick search for Practical Defense on the Android marketplace, and you can buy it for a mere $1.99. The show is also now available on the iOS platform, meaning iPhones, iPods, and iPads. Now here, you just search iTunes for the free application called Podcast Box. Now, once you get that application, you can purchase a subscription to Practical Defense, and again, it's a mere $1.99. I earn 70 cents from each purchase, so it's a way to help out the show. Now, the Gun Rights Radio Network is working on an iOS application as well, and Practical Defense, of course, will be included. However, all proceeds from that edition will go to help out GRRN, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a really, really good organization, and they do a lot of good stuff. Now, finally, I want to remind everyone of my upcoming seminars. I know I've mentioned them at the end of a few shows, but some folks close out the show before the summary. What I'm doing is I'm running a Kubaton seminar on Saturday, July 23rd, and the cost for this seminar is $50, and it includes a Kubaton. Then I'm running a knife survival seminar on Saturday, September 24th. The cost for the knife seminar is $40. Pre-registration is required for both of these, and you can find the sign-up page on my website at alexhaddix.com. I'll include a link in the show notes. The seminars will be held at the studio where I train in Woodland Hills. And with that, we'll dive right into the subject of personally identifiable information.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro Second Amendment, pro gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
These days, we share more of our personal information than ever before. We post pictures of our kids, our homes, and our vacations. We even share our most inner thoughts on Facebook and Twitter and any number of different types of blogs. Broadcasting our personal lives has never been easier, and that is a serious problem. There is an annoying amount of information about us on the internet. You know, the crazy thing is, we place much of it there voluntarily. Pictures, posts, tweets, blogs, vlogs, you know, meaning video blogs. We create this information, compile it, enhance it, and then post it for the world to see without the long-term view of how it's going to affect us. We are our own worst enemies. Kids, especially teenagers, are the worst offenders. First, they don't understand security or privacy. Second, they don't fully comprehend the long-term consequences. It all has to do with exposure, maturity, and human development. I'm going to try and get a great psychologist on the show to talk about that stuff. Adults are handicapped with a slightly different set of challenges, including a lack of understanding of technology and the threats posed by those that wield that technology. Me? I grew up in a justifiably paranoid household. If you want all the details as to why, read my book when I publish it in a few months. I share a lot of stories and experiences from my childhood in the preface. In fact, I spent a few months sanitizing my online profiles before I started publishing this show. Even now, I'm still careful as to what I post and where. My wife is also careful. You know, some things just can't be helped, such as my schedule, you know, where I'm going to be and at what times. Considering that and my background, I'm understandably careful. What I do, in principle, is post pictures or announcements of my activities after the fact, I try not to post anything before or during the event. It's not only for my safety, but the safety of my family. Now, if someone somehow figures out where I live, and I post I'm, say, you know, hosting a seminar in another state, this person knows that I'm not with my family, or if my family's with me, that my home is empty. Now, just to be clear, I never leave my family without multiple layers of protection. To underscore how your posts say too much, there's a site called comerobme.com. This site collected and parsed publicly available information in a free searchable database. The purpose of the site was to expose how vulnerable we are with what we post about ourselves. It's currently offline. Let's take a look at pictures first. Cameras are really sophisticated these days. The digital files they create contain far more information than just the image. That extra information is called metadata. Now, often the metadata includes the date, time, make and model of the camera that took the photo, and your GPS location. Now, even if the camera doesn't have a GPS, the device used to upload the file and publish it might. So if you take a picture with your phone and then upload it to Twitter, you know, Facebook, or Flickr, the application used to upload probably has location services turned on. That information goes right along with the picture. So now I'm going to give you a really scary scenario. You've just uploaded a picture of your son's birthday party at your home. You include a caption of Bobby's fifth birthday with Aunt Jane. You know, sounds pretty innocent, right? Just wait. Add to this scenario a pedophile who's in your area. He comes across the picture of your son. You have just handed him the date and time of the party, the exact GPS location of your house, the name of your son, his age, and the name of his aunt. Oh, and the background of the picture is a pretty good layout of your home. So he decides that he wants to go after your child. He hangs out for a bit and follows you for your days and learns your habits and timetables. After a bit, he approaches your child. He says something like, "Hey, Bobby, I'm Jack. Your Aunt Jane is hurt and she asked me to come pick you up. You know, don't worry, we've met before. I was at your birthday party last weekend. I can give you your home address as proof. You live at 1234 My Mommy Made a Big Mistake Street. It's the White House on the corner of Holy Crapola Lane. Hurry, your aunt is really hurt and she needs you now." So does that sound credible to an unprepared child? Yeah, you bet it does. And all of that information was gained from a single innocent birthday photo uploaded to the internet. One photo. Now, how many pictures of your kids are online? I'm going to scare you even more. You do not have to be the one to upload this photo. It can be done just as innocently by family members, you know, proud grandparents, aunts, uncles, and so on and so forth, or even other parents at the party. It can even be done by a child's sports team like Little League Baseball. Your closest friends can unwittingly compromise your family's personal security. My wife, who's our family historian, never posts pictures of other children, family, or friends without getting permission first. Now that we've established the risk posed even by the most innocent of public postings, let's take a look at other sources of threats and our vulnerabilities. The top of the list is Facebook. This site is such an information sieve, it's hard for me to decide where to start. Plus, Facebook gets worse every day. This site, and others like it, like Google, make its money from collecting, sharing, exposing, and selling your profile information. They have placed the burden of trying to secure the information you have placed into the databases onto you. Remember that the more secure the system, the harder it is for them to make money. It's in their best interest to make their security as leaky as possible. Facebook is not your friend, regardless of what the button says. So again, Facebook is a personal information sieve. You know, not only do they collect as much information on you as possible, they want you to share that information. Their privacy and security settings are a joke and constantly changing. The default settings are to share everything. They place the burden of security on you. You are responsible for figuring out their maze of settings and options to protect your privacy, which they don't want you to do. Yes, I have a Facebook account. However, it contains the minimum amount of information. Plus, I don't friend anyone I don't know personally. I apologize to all the listeners who have sent me friend requests, but I keep my personal list really small. The only reason I even created an account was for this podcast. And if it makes you feel any better, I never use my personal account. I do everything on the podcast fan page. Trust me, you're not missing anything. Facebook is planning an additional feature that has security people terrified. They are going to implement a facial recognition system to rival that of the FBI. Their expressed purpose is to make it easier to find your friends in pictures and automatically tag them. Sounds fun and nice and cute, right? Well, think of the dark side and how this can be misused. Now, think about the scenario I opened with. Now add the ability to take that picture of a neighborhood child, upload it to Facebook, and be directed to the entire archive of photos posted by the family, friends, and relatives. With a single photo taken from a car and this system, you just learned everything about this person. 30 seconds ago, you didn't even know his or her name. Now, what about stalkers? What about people hiding from abusive spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, or even parents? What about political dissidents in foreign countries? Take a picture of a crowd, upload it, and learn the names of everyone in the picture. What about the criminals planning a heist or a kidnapping? If you see an executive leaving a building, snap a photo, upload it, and now you have his home address, the name of his wife, the name of and number of his children, where they go to school. You don't even have to follow him home. It's all there on the internet. What about judges, attorneys, or law enforcement? How about undercover law enforcement? That's a pretty cheap background check, isn't it? Once on the internet, always on the internet. The list is endless. This facial recognition system tied to a database as large as Facebook is a horrible idea from a personal security perspective. It borders on criminal negligence. There are companies out there that scan social media sites and collect information about you. They then sell this information to other companies for a significant profit. The technique is called data mining. And guess who the gold is in this mine? Yep, you and me. Insurance companies, marketing companies, and just companies are interested in this data. Oh, and the government is also very interested in this data. Here's some tinfoil hat scary insight. The government is prohibited from collecting certain types of information on its citizens. It's an invasion of our privacy. However, the government is not prohibited from licensing or purchasing that very same information from civilian sources who make it available to anyone who can afford the ticket price. It's a nice loophole, huh? So using these third-party vendors, the government can sidestep some of our civil liberties. Here's an example of a company. Social Intelligence Corp. makes its money by scanning social media sites and compiling records on everyone and selling that research to companies performing employment background checks. So you want to hire someone. You perform the normal criminal background checks, and then you also pay Social Intelligence Corp. for their records on the candidate from his or her social background. I've already done a show on how your online profile can affect your job search and potential court appearances. It's episode 166, and the title is Internet Self-Defense. Okay, so far we've talked about how we share too much information publicly and how companies collect this information to build profiles on each and every one of us. Now let's switch gears a bit and take a look at the security protocols of our most trusted vendors. Now first, I seriously hope that everyone listening to the show uses strong passwords by now. I mean strong passwords and different passwords for every site. I covered passwords back in episode 115, so check it out for a review. By the end of this episode, you're most likely going to want to check out both of those, so I'll include a reference in the show notes. Now, there's a good reason why the information you post about yourself can be used to hack your accounts. If you look at the passwords on these sites, how do you recover them if you forget them? The site asks for your favorite color, birthdays, where you went to school, the street you grew up on, the name of your pet, your mother's maiden name. Now, doesn't that sound like the information in most people's online profile? Sites like Facebook, dating sites, blogs, and so forth. Here's a potential scam alert that a listener sent me. This comes from Kyle and his wife in Colorado. They write, "My wife was looking at Facebook today, and one of her friends posted a quote-unquote chain mail that we found interesting. The message stated, in honor of the royal wedding, you should comment with your royal name. It should start with either Duke or Duchess, followed by the first name of one of your grandparents. Then you should put your first pet's name for your middle name, and the street you grew up on for your last name. This would create a funny name like Duke Fred Fido Fountain, after Grandpa Fred, your dog Fido, and Fountain Street, where all of your childhood memories were made. My wife pointed out that your first pet's name and the street you grew up on are common security questions for all kinds of accounts, like your bank, Facebook, etc. Facebook also tends to put maiden names of women in their profiles. If your mother is listed as such on your Facebook page, then there is yet another security question answer available. Maybe we're crazy, maybe we're not. Well, Kyle and his wife are 100% dead accurate here. No, they're not crazy. Here's another email sent in by another listener. This comes from Chris in Burbank, California. He writes, "Here's one from last night, along with two quick stories. You've talked in the past about not leaving mail and other documents in plain view on passenger seats and things like that. My tip, and something my wife and I both adhere to, is to also sanitize when we're out and about. My wife works in an office that requires her to wear an ID badge at work. Sometimes she would forget to put the badge away when she left work. This meant that if she ran an errand on the way home, anyone who wanted to know could see her name and where she works." Actually, I've talked about that in the past, about IDs and things. But yeah, always take your IDs off when you leave work. I'm sorry, he continues. "Now for the story and the scary examples. I'm sitting at Panera right now, and there are two guys enjoying their lunch right next to me. I'll call one of them, quote-unquote, John. He may not care about this, but I do. I can see from John's badge that he works at a company called Crane. A quick internet search tells me that Crane is an aerospace and engineering company here in Burbank. Another search of John's full name, which is easily viewable, told me that he is a project manager and owns a house in this area, and the current value of said house. Less than 60 seconds gave me all of that info. A few months ago, I stopped a girl at a Starbucks as she went to refill her coffee. She had her laptop monitor open for the whole world to see, and a quick glance told me that she has a boyfriend, is in marketing, has a local address, and a cell number with a Vegas area code. I'm not kidding. This was all visible on her screen as she walked away from her computer. As a husband, big brother, and martial arts instructor, I couldn't in good conscience not point out how dangerous this is. The lesson is simple. Don't make it so easy for people to gather information. I'm a friendly, law-abiding citizen. Someone else may not be." Thanks for the great emails and examples, guys. You both bring up great points. These are all real-world examples of how easy it is to find out detailed information and personal information about complete strangers. Two quick examples. In 2005, Paris Hilton had her phone and email hacked. The guys took her personal information and posted it for the world to see. One of the hackers was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to about 11 months in juvenile detention. He was only 17. In 2008, Sarah Palin had her Yahoo email hacked. The hacker claimed he looked up Palin's birthday on her Wikipedia site, and then it only took him, quote-unquote, 15 seconds to open up her account. So who cares if they read your email, right? You're just a nobody compared to Paris Hilton or Sarah Palin. Who would want your information and boring email? Just wait, my friends. Security through obscurity is no protection. You need two things to access most sites, including financial sites: a username and password. Now, how often is your email address your username? Yeah, now you're starting to get it. One of two down. So let's take a look at the next part, the password. More often than not, the password recovery system will send your password reset information to your email address on file. So the hacker just clicks the Forgot Password button, and the password to your bank is sent to your private email account. Oh wait, it isn't a private email account anymore, and it certainly isn't yours. The criminal now has access to all of your banking accounts. So you can have the most secure password in history, but if you post too much information about yourself on the internet, you can still lose control of all your accounts. Scary, right? But wait, there's more. Hacking groups and pranksters are not your biggest concern. High-tech thievery has become a billion-dollar industry. There are groups and organizations out there with serious financial backing. Organized crime and even foreign governments are involved in these activities. They hire tons of hackers and programmers to write scripts to collect information, build profiles, and try to take over accounts en masse. It is not a one-to-one ratio from a pimple-faced hacker in his mother's basement anymore. These are highly sophisticated systems that attack thousands of accounts every second. This goes on every second of every day. This is big money. It's hard to track and impossible to prosecute if you're working out of a third world country. Can you see the allure here? One technique used by these crooks is not to clean you out entirely once they get your information. Why kill the cow when you can milk it daily? So instead, what these guys do is set up a recurring monthly transfer or sale. It'll be small, you know, something not big enough to be noticed, but not small enough to be noticed either. It'll be small enough that you, if you do see it, you probably won't even think it's worth the time to track down. So let's say $3.38. It's not a whole lot of money. However, when you multiply it by a million accounts, which is not that hard to do when everything is automated, running 24/7 all year long, that is $3.38 million a month. Now, that's just one source of revenue for these criminals. They also run other scams at the same time, also bringing in more big money. This is a huge business, and it's international. That is why they do it, and how they can afford all of the equipment employees to run it. How many legitimate businesses would love to bring in $3.38 million a month? Just about everyone I know. So, am I a little paranoid about this stuff? Yeah, you bet I am. I keep my online profiles as clean as possible. It's tougher for me because I have the show. I have to be fairly public, otherwise no one would even know about the show. It's a risk I take to help out my listeners. But I also take extra precautions around my home and family. So before I close this up, I want to point out a few other sites besides Facebook and other social media sites that you should be careful with. A big one is job search sites. This is actually really pretty huge. There are a lot of scams out there that people are really vulnerable to because, you know, so many people are looking for work. The criminals prey upon our weaknesses, and jobs is a huge weakness right now. But also look at your job search profile. You know, a potential employer does not need your home phone number or your complete address. All the company needs is your cell number, city, and state. You know, where do you live and how do I contact you if I'm interested? That's it. I remember back in the day when the job candidate would put his or her social security number on a resume just to make it easier for Human Resources Department to complete the paperwork. An email address is also acceptable, but you may want to consider creating a new email account just for your job searching. Heck, many of you need to do it just because of some of the emails I've received. I'm not certain I'd want a potential employer typing some of those things in. You know, some brag about attributes that probably don't fit reality, if you get my meaning. Another place that concerns me that I've never heard anyone mention is genealogy sites. People post an incredible amount of personal information to these sites. They even create database files and upload them for people to share. You know, they contain critical data like full legal names, birth dates, pictures, mother's maiden names, addresses, you know, sometimes even at every address you've ever lived, birth and death certificates, and sometimes even social security numbers. And now again, you don't have to be the one posting this information. It could be your Aunt Martha, your cousin Betty, or the family historian doing everything just quite innocently. From a personal security perspective, it is just insanity. Well, I think I've scared everyone enough for this week. Sorry about that. Also, you know, don't think it's too late. It is never too late for security. Go out and Google yourself. See what's out there and start sanitizing your online profiles. It'll take some time for the items to fall off the internet, and some never will, but you do what you can. You know, check every month because the search engines only update their records every so often. You know, as things disappear, others that you may not have seen before can bubble to the top. One suggestion is also not to just remove the information, but replace it with false information. Let it sit for a while, a month or two, and then request removal. This can mess with a hosting site's data archive, which is what you want to do. For example, if you request an account be removed or deleted, the site will just pull your information from public view, but not actually delete it. It'll sit in their backups for years on the premise that if you ever want the account restored, they can pull your information back for you. It's for customer service, right? It's all about customer service. However, if you replace the accurate information with false information, when they pull it offline, back it up, and archive it, they don't have anything of value on you. The bottom line from this show is to think before you post. Always consider how the information you're about to share with the world forever could be used to harm you and the ones you love. It may not be today, tomorrow, or next week. It could be years. Once on the internet, always on the internet. But be a hard target. Make them work for it, and you just might escape selection.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. Your support truly matters. You can help today. Visit redcross.org.
Welcome back.
Doom and gloom!
I hope I didn't overdo it this week. There are significant risks out there, which should not be minimized. But as in all things, awareness breeds understanding, and you can take the appropriate steps to protect yourself and your family, so long as you are aware. That's what this is all about. So, in summary, we have: do not post about future or ongoing events. Post only about events in the past. You can let people know where you have been, but not necessarily where you're going to be. Turn location services off on all of your devices. This provides way too much information about your habits and activities. Similarly, do not use the GPS functions in your camera. Be careful with all data associated with pictures, especially when it comes to your children. Talk about picture security with family, friends, teams, and schools. Make them create a policy to request permission before posting any pictures of your child. Do not trust Facebook for anything. Do not trust Google for anything. These companies and others like them make money from selling information about you. Check out episode 166 on internet self-defense. Also check out episode 115 on passwords. Be careful how you select your password challenge questions and their answers. Try to keep that information about you off of the internet. Be aware of potential scams trying to gather information about you. This can come in the form of a seemingly innocent game or a bogus job inquiry. Hacking has become a multi-billion-dollar international crime industry. Check your credit card and your bank account statements every month. Really scrutinize them, even for the small transactions. Think before you post. Consider the long-term consequences of everything you share before you share. Start cleaning up your online profiles now. It can be done, but it will take a little time and effort. Then, just maintain it. Teach your children about oversharing, especially when it comes to the internet. Remember and understand that you can have the most secure password in history, but if you post too much information about yourself on the internet, you can still lose control of your accounts. So, that'll do it for this week. You can follow my daily tips on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, I'm Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. The show is available on mobile phone applications for both Android and iOS. You can find a PDF of the show notes and summary in the bonus content section. I'm running a Kubaton seminar on Saturday, July 23rd, and a knife survival seminar on Saturday, September 24th. Pre-registration is required, and you can find links to those on my website at alexhaddix.com. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.